Hi, Pear, and I don't know who else is on the call. Who else is on the call?
Hello.
I'm here, Ina. Hello.
Oh, hey, Ina. Let me just put a name, because I only see a number for you, so.
Yeah. I had to use the number you gave me last time. I didn't get in on the regular one.
Okay, yeah, I was having some problems. I don't know what happened, but I wasn't taking the conference, so I had to fix it. So Holly just joined us as well. Hi, Holly.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
And Brigitta, I know, is also trying to get in. So she'll be joining us soon. Christian has health problems.
Okay.
So he won't be on the call with us. He might be joining in later, but I'm not entirely sure. He hasn't been feeling well, and he has to kind of deal with his health issue. But he will be listening to the recording.
Okay. I have a question. What is the time frame for this call?
For today?
Yeah.
It'll probably be between an hour and a half.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, I think so. I thought this call earlier today was 1 hour earlier, but it was this summertime and wintertime, and got in the way. So. But I think that worked.
Okay. So let's see where Birgitta is.
Well, she said she had the problem that I had, but I said that now it should work for her. But
yeah. Okay. So let me start by saying what we're going to be doing today. So first, I am curious how you're doing, where you're at in terms of the program. If you have any questions, so we'll do some questions, and then we're going to pair off in groups of two, and I'd like to go over, like for each of you to go over, kind of like create a structure, create a matrix of confronting. So confronting is one of the things that I've noticed that is a challenge for a lot of coaches. So what I really want to kind of focus some more on, okay, what would be like the best matrix? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about your powers? What resources do you need? What do you need to believe about others? So we're going to go over the matrices. And there's Birgitta. Great. Hi, Birgitta. Welcome to the call. So I was just explaining what we're going to be doing today. So we'll do a quick check on how everyone's doing. We're going to answer some questions. And then we're going to pair off in groups of two and listen for take each other through the matrix of confrontation. So basically you ask questions and start building a matrix around confronting. So that you and you might actually take a role model, someone who's really good at confronting, the style that you really like that would fit yours, and then ask questions around that, and try them on, become that person, and answer the questions from their point of view. And then we will come back and debrief and kind of share, okay, what insights did you get? So that you get a more solid matrix around confronting. Okay, so Ina, would you like to start with where you're at and if you have any questions?
Yeah, I could do that. I well, for the last few weeks, I have been doing a lot of other things again, but I have also been doing some coaching. And when I do the regular coachings in Norwegian, I try to I always have the meta coaching in my back head and the focus, and I start out, but then I lose track. So what I know it's about framing, and I know that when I start the session with framing, with good framing on what is going to happen, it's everything usually works out better than when I don't. But still, I also realize that not in every setting is meta coaching the right form of coaching, sort of, because people have other needs. So I often tend to like it gets conversations around change or strategy. So how? That was a question I had for you. Is meta coaching always the right method, or where is the differences in where to use meta coaching or just coach around? I guess some of the coachings I have had is about strategy, actually. So it has been very clear what to work on before we have started. And maybe that has been, that is, of course, also why meta coaching, or not meta coaching, but that the structure around the meta coaching system is not really natural to follow. But I find myself like thinking that, well, this was not a good coaching because I didn't follow the structure, and then I have been thinking maybe the structure is not really right for every type of coaching. Yeah.
Okay.
You get my question too.
Yes. So that's a great question. I've written it down, so we'll go through everyone, and then we'll answer the questions one by one.
Yeah, and for that is a very clear challenge for me at the moment. But when it comes to where I stand, I feel like I still have difficulties in finding or prioritizing, and I know it's only my choice in which things to dig into. But now I am back on track, and think I'm going to be able to maybe have more full days that I can really dig into the coaching, because I want to and need to. So I'm ready for some buddy coaching as well.
Okay.
For the rest of the group. So, and I know that Per and I is set up either this week or next week. Yeah. So
okay.
For me, it's just about doing it at the moment.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ina.
Yep.
Birgitta, how about you?
Yeah, I'm stuck in my non-confronting style, beginning to feel hopeless about it. So I was coached on that with Holly the other day. Unfortunately, we couldn't record that coaching because it was something wrong. And we have also talked about it in our MCF group, and the next time I will go, I will talk about this matrix that we are going to do today, how to stretch a meta program. So I'm working on it, but I can't say I have succeeded yet.
Okay.
I realized something when I coached Christian the last time, and when I did not go back to the first thing he said. So I realized that it was, of course, on my matching style. So I was matching him by following his thoughts all the way, and so he was leading me. I thought then that I was leading him.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. I think that this, that has with my matching style to do. And that is something I do without thinking about it until afterwards.
Yes, okay. So thinking about it while you're doing it might be the first step to be aware. Yeah,
because my pattern is first I'm matching, and then when I'm listening back to the coaching session or reading back to what I have written, then I see the mistakes or what is missing. You can see that on my spelling as well. I don't see it first.
So you know how to do that.
I know how to do it.
Yeah.
But I forget
to do it.
It's just a case
of doing it earlier.
Yeah. I have to do it earlier.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Where I am. So, yeah.
Great. Do you have any questions?
I just had the questions that I posted on the Facebook page for you. And
yes.
Also,
oh, right.
And I also am very interested in the answer to Aina's question, because before I did this meta coaching earlier in my NLP coaching practice, I did a lot of value coaching. I almost always started with mapping of values and working out from that, and found it worked very well mostly. Course, I can put in meta questions in this value coaching, of course. So I wonder also if it's always the right method.
Okay. So that's a great question. Thank you, Birgitta. How about you, Holly?
About me? I'm really excited and happy to be here today. I'm in the heart of practicing quite a bit with other people, and I signed my first official client the other day.
Nice.
And yay! And I was having a lot of trouble separating out massage therapy from coaching. So I'm starting to do that by just saying it's okay to do massage therapy right now and to go ahead with coaching and seeing what information can unfold from what I'm doing. And I've decided that my niche is going to be about mindfulness. And Right now, I'm doing lots of research on that, and how is that going to fit in with what I want to do. So with my purpose and my vision. So I'm doing that, and I'm looking at what offers I'm going to create around that. 3 months ago, I couldn't even visualize creating a coaching program, and at least today I can. So that's
nice.
Where I'm at. Yeah.
That's exciting, Holly.
Woohoo!
Great job.
Okay. Well, that's definitely something to celebrate. And do you have any questions?
I was just curious. I don't know if it fits in with this call, but I was curious, what difference did it make for your development and your coaching business to hire a marketing coach? I'm just curious to hear a little bit about that.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you for that question. Now, Bear.
Yeah. Since last time, the only coaching sessions I have had is the free introduction sessions with potential clients. So that has been much practice on well for the outcome and acknowledgement. I haven't had any change conversations. In terms of my coaching, the clarity questions, I think I start to, sorry, a little bit tired, so finding the words in English, right? but start to get it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I've been struggling with. And in terms of my business, it's like I have had a lot, 10, 11 free introduction sessions and 3 more to come. And I start to feel kind of discouraged because I don't really know what I do wrong because no one has been hiring me yet. And the feedback I get is that it's really good coaching. They get a lot of value in the free session, and I say the price, I have a payment plan, and I go for closing the sale. I'm starting to doing a follow-up call, which I notice is much appreciated, and then I can handle objections and that kind of stuff. But I don't really know what I am doing wrong, because I know that's a pattern for me that I easily kind of start to feel discouraged if I don't get results in what I do. Today, for example, I thought a client, I had a follow-up call today, and I was kind of certain he would take the program, but he wanted to do it in autumn, but in sales, I know that even if they say that, you don't know if they have changed their mind then. But so that's where I am in terms of business, kind of discouraged. I don't know if I have any questions about that because I don't know what to ask about because I don't really know. But I have 2 other questions about other things. So one question is about the matching externals on supporting, because I watch like some coaches who do a great coaching, have a great rapport with the clients, and you can tell because the client is opening up and telling private stuff and all that, but they are not matching the externals. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of, for example, if I was benchmarking that session, would that coach get minus on supporting because it wasn't matching the posture or something, but the other things was there? and some high level of confronting and identify pattern, for example, was present as well. So that's the first question. The other question I have is about running a webinar. So, like, some advice of how if I have a 1 hour free webinar about some subject to my target market, how to structure that webinar. I haven't done any webinars or before, so some advice. And then okay. About the structure, how to structure it, so that's my questions.
Okay, great, thank you, Per. And I think maybe my answer to Holly's question, as I get into that, I'll share more also about like knowing what to do wrong in your introduction session.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start with that first question. Is method coaching always the right method? Like, you know, if it is clear that it is about strategy, and it's clear what you need to work on, then method coaching doesn't always initially feel natural. So here are my thoughts around that. So first of all, for me, the question really is, well, what does this client need? Does this client need coaching? Does this client need training, mentoring, just anything like that? That's really critical to, first of all, get clarity on, what does my client need? If it's not coaching, then obviously helping someone through method coaching, I wouldn't say it's the right method. If my client needs coaching, I don't see why method coaching isn't the right method. Even when my client says, well, I need a strategy, first of all, what is it specifically that you need in a strategy? And the very important distinction is, what is it that my client can do for themselves in creating the strategy, and what is it that they can't do for themselves? So, hey, we may start out with, hey, I want a strategy, and either then I become a consultant and I work on the strategy with you, in which case it's not coaching, or you want to be coached on getting a strategy, in which case I'm going to start asking exploration questions, clarity checks on what specifically you mean, meta questions on what goes on in the back of your mind with regards to that. I still want to go through the well-formed outcome. Okay, so when you have that strategy, what will that look like? What are we going to be working on? You need all of those details to be able to determine what you're going to be doing. So to me, it really comes down to is it coaching that is needed, or is it something else? Hmm. Does that make sense?
To me, it makes makes sense, yes. And it's actually what is happening, because and as you know, I am doing a lot of different things. So I see that consulting is also part of what I normally do. So at sometimes it's really important for me to separate, to see that this today we are going to work on. With coaching as a method, but next time we can do consulting. So just to keep the two away from each other. But for the client, it's not really, they are getting their outcome, so it's more important for me to be clear on
the distinction.
The distinction, and that it's not me not not doing a good job because I'm not coaching enough when I'm actually when the client actually does have other needs as well. So thank you, Femke.
Yeah.
That was really a good clarification for me. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so then let's go to the next question. What difference did it make for my development to hire a marketing coach? I think for me, the main difference is that I had someone to support me. It wasn't like I didn't know. I had, you know, gone through a lot of marketing books, read a lot up on the principles of marketing. The person that I hired, I would say she was more of an advice giver than a marketing coach. She didn't do a lot of coaching, a little bit more telling. But that's what I needed at the time. I just needed someone to kind of make it very simple for me and tell me, this is what you need to do in your day. So these are the three things that you need to do in your day, and then you can repeat them. And that really helped, and it helped to kind of talk through. Also, for example, the introduction session, what do I need to do in the introduction session? Get really clear on taking the lead in that. So if in that session I'm going to give everything away, then they're not going to feel that much need. So I want to solve maybe one little thing for my client in the introduction session. But then a really big part of it is that a really big part of the introduction session, what I learned is to create a huge gap between where they are right now and where they want to be. And so confronting and challenging is you do that through either going through the well formed outcome, getting your present state, getting your desired state. And then through confronting and getting on the motivation axis. So your introduction session is mostly going to play out on the motivation axis and getting that gap. And if you don't make this decision right now to work on this, how much is it going to cost you? And how valuable will it be to have that, to make this difference? How long have you had? So really play into the pain of where they're at right now and show them that gap. Don't fix it for them. Create the gap. So that's something that I already learned. And then also when it comes to, I got a really clear to-do list, making it a lot simpler. Like, she asked me, how many clients do you need to get to be able to afford your own place? And so I was like, well, two. And she was like, okay, so that's going to be our focus, first getting on just two clients. Well, that's like huge difference from thinking, like having that vision in your mind of like a full practice and getting from no clients to a full practice. So just getting two clients made it so much easier, having like a very simple to-do list in my day. And doing those first, the difference is that it actually costs me less energy and less time to get my clients than previously. And so we spoke about the introduction sessions, and also to kind of, as I've got that gap and as I have like for my clients, a duty for them to help them make the decision, and to kind of really call them when on like objections and things like that. Yeah, that just for me, that having someone to kind of like as a sparring partner, to say, okay, this is what I did in my introduction session. Now what do I do? And someone to like really get me to do the confronting part and to take the lead and to see that as a service that I'm doing to my clients, because they do get something out of it. That made a huge difference. Did that answer your question, Holly?
Yes, thank you. Fantastic.
Okay. Tara, did that give you a little bit more clarity?
Yeah, I realized that I go to the towards motivation a lot with my clients.
Okay.
I have some resistance of doing the away from, not in regular coaching, but on that, on the first introduction session, because then I'm also selling. So I have some frames around that, I think.
Yep.
Feels like,
so that'll be interesting to explore then in that case.
Yeah, but I think I just, yeah, maybe I could explore that, but maybe I should just decide to use it and what see what it means. So so just make a conscious decision, because it doesn't come naturally. So I think it's more
okay. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
a bit more away from and mismatching.
Yeah, I just have a question. Is it common that people think that you're just pushing for your own need to make a sale?
Is it common?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Is that something that you have experienced?
That's my fear.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right.
My fear
okay.
is that are they going to think, oh, he's just pushing and want to make his sale. So that's my fear. So maybe I'm not. Maybe I just not informed enough, because So I'm asking you, is that common that people think that?
So let me ask you this: Like if you have a client who is really truly struggling, and you're a business coach, so if you have a client who has been struggling for I don't know how long, not making the income that they want, really self-conscious and insecure, starting to doubt whether they can ever make it, and that's where they're at, and they want to kind of like have their business. Because most likely people who start with their own business, they are good at creating a vision. It's not that that's not the problem. It's everything that's holding them back that they need to face. So if you can show that value to them, show that gap, and show that you can be of service to them.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be valuable for them?
Yeah, I know it would be valuable if they. Yeah. Okay. So show
because
the gap.
My frame, Sarah. My frame and is that if you don't create that pain, really create that, make that pain big enough for them, so that they can't make that decision for themselves, you're doing a disservice to your potential client. If they don't need you, and you can assess that in your introduction session, then there's no need to sell. But if you can establish that gap, then it is your duty to kind of help them make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. because I'm getting frustrated. I have only had one that I know make a really well-formed decision about it, and that it felt better. That it was a no, but it felt better because they really had gone through the budget and talked with his wife because they had the company together, and it was okay.
I'll come to you, Aina. So it makes sense there that they are scared. Yes. And they're going to find excuses. And to me, this is my frame, of course. So you need to see if that fits for you. But my frame is that if I accept their excuses, I'm really letting them down. So all that I need to do is, like, listen, I've heard you say that you've been struggling with this for 4 years. And so this coaching would this really be valuable for you? So you're just doing your testing questions.
No. Is that after I have presented the program and what I can do for them?
Well, once you've kind of like created that gap and you know the present state, you know the desired state, and then you can say, okay, this is what I can help you with. I can help you with taking these steps. This is what coaching is about. A coaching program is, I don't know how much you charge, but so many kroner. How does that, and then you leave the silence. Then just leave the silence.
You silence after?
After you've stated your price.
Okay. Okay.
And then they can respond.
Okay, but I present the price, and then I say that you have three ways to pay it, and one payment, or divide into 6 months or 12 months. I have a financial company who they can say that. Should I wait with that as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So silence after the price. Okay,
yeah,
I was going to say sorry.
And then, like, once they start talking, like, so you leave the silence, then they start talking.
Yeah.
When there's, like, and then you can just listen for objections, and then, you hear an objection, and then... and then you can go back to feeding them that gap. Is this worth it for you? Like, and how, like what I did with you, I just asked you, so how many clients do you need in order to be able to afford it?
Yeah.
Well, two. Oh, okay. So that made it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, okay. So silence after price.
Yeah.
I always learn to say to make the silence after the close. So I say the price, you can pay it in this. Do you want to take the program? And then I'm silent. But maybe I've talked too much already then.
Yes.
When I do that. Okay.
Yes.
When I say talk, listen to objections, and then then feed back the gap. When should I tell them about the payment plan?
If they have concerns about that.
Sorry?
If they have concerns about that.
Okay. Okay. This really helps me.
I'm curious, and it may not be you don't have to answer, but I'm curious. Are you saying the payment plan already because you're worried that they're not going to be able to pay it?
No, because I want them to say yes, of course, but I just want to mention that because if I say 25,000, that is like, okay, and you can pay it in 12 months. I've seen people, oh, well, then it's easier. So it's like to spin that effect. But I will try this because what I've been doing so far hasn't given me any paying clients. So I try this out with away from motivation, even more clear about the gap and the silence after price. Okay.
Okay, great. Great.
Okay, thank
you. Aina, you wanted to add something?
No, I've listened to you. I don't have any ads. I think.
Okay. 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 So then we have two more questions. First, on matching externals on supporting if they're not matching at all, and yet they're doing the higher level skills.
Not if they're matching at all, but if they're not matching all of them, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, at that level, I'm thinking that they need to be matching the key movements.
Okay.
And semantic space and things like that. And I think that's the most important that I look for, especially when they get to the higher level skills. But
matching
gives you a lot of information about your client. So for me, it is important, but it's not like completely matching, but it's just matching those key movements.
Okay, matching key movements. So I heard you say about the semantic space, but. That is another thing in this case, I think. So matching key movements, okay, because that gives the coach information.
Yeah, and emphasizing, and like if your client is going to be a lot faster than you are, then then that also takes away from the skill of supporting, or the other way around. If your client is slower and you're going real fast.
Yeah, okay, I will specify my question then. Okay, it's about posture. Because kind of, I see, I wasn't clear about that, sorry. Coaches at a kind of high level who's not matching the posture, or especially not the legs. And but they are matching tempo and for example, and energy. And semantic space, but not for example the posture or the hands.
Yeah, the way okay, yeah, that's it might be a small takeaway, but like for me, it's more about the higher level matching than necessarily the legs or
okay,
like semantic space or. Intonation, things like that.
Okay, what do you say after semantic space?
Intonation.
Information, yeah, okay.
Intonation.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Now, in terms of running a webinar, like what is the structure of it? Again, with the webinar, first of all, it needs to have some kind of value. So you want to give something away.
Yeah.
At the same time, you also want to let them know how they can get more,
and
kind of like feed them in throughout the webinar. Like I only have an hour. So I won't be able to discuss everything, but I will let you know how you can get more at the end of this webinar. Make it something practical that they can apply right now. Also,
practical they can apply right now. Do you mean the value?
Yeah, something that they can apply right now. And also here, I really speak to their pain, where they're stuck,
Okay.
In general, and where they want to be. And
okay, where do you stuck?
Have you done the trainer training, sir?
Nope.
Okay, so
that is why I'm asking a lot of this, because I have some structure how to run a seminar, and I've taken some training on it, not in neurosemantics, but the webinar I have never held, but I want to. This information is new.
So you might want to look at the format model. So for
what, how, when, what can happen if.
Yeah.
Do you mean that? Okay.
Yeah. So I always start out with the why, the motivation. Why are you here? Like the towards and away from, creating that gap. And then giving them a little something that will help fill that gap. But you want to have that gap still big enough so that you can say, and this is what I do. This is like how you can get more.
Okay. This is good for my advertising as well. These tips.
Mm-hmm.
Advice.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so start with why, with away from and towards, we create a big enough gap. Okay, and then what is that what I'm going to talk about? The info or?
The content, yeah.
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 Okay. Okay, and then how to apply it, I.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what can happen if, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you just follow the format model and give something away that's practical. Let them know how they can get more, and tell and set the frame that I will tell them in the end. And talk to the pain where they're stuck and where they want to be.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Simple. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for the questions. Any kind of follow-up questions or anything that wasn't clear? Okay, so then what I'd like to do is to take 20 minutes, so 10 minutes each way. I'm going to put you into the breakout groups, and then go into the take each other through the matrices. So you've got the question of like, what state do you need to be in? What intentions? What meanings do you give to confronting? And then the content matrices, what do you believe about yourself, about others, about the world of confronting, about time in relation to confronting, and your powers. Power can play to resources, skills that you need, etc. So that's what you're going to go over. If you want, you can use someone as a template who is really good and just like pretend that you're that person and answer the questions from that position. So any questions before I create the breakout groups? Okay. So I don't know who's going to be with who, so that's going to be a surprise. I'm going to create the breakout groups right now. Okay, Ina and Per, you are in a team, and Birgitta and Holly, you guys are together as well. I'm going to set the timer for 10 minutes, and then we will switch and do another 10 minutes. And then we will come together and discuss your findings and what like insights you got. And then we'll wrap up the call. So 10 minutes right now, I'll let you know when to switch, and I'm going to put all of you on right now. You guys can get started. 10 minutes is yours. Okay, time is up, everyone. I'm going to dissolve the breakout groups right now. Okay, so you're back into the main room. Let me just open your mics, everyone. Okay, so I'm curious how that went, and you may not have finished it all. You may like still need to go through a few questions. But what insights did you get so far? And if you want to press one on your keypad so that, like, we don't start talking and interrupting each other. Pear?
Yeah, it's like I actually put the state of love, and I didn't really think of that state before, but when I got the questions, it was like, that's natural. And it was like, and it's like, people hire coaches to be challenged and confronted.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you hire a coach if not to be challenged and confronted? That's a belief really settled, because else you should hire a consultant or therapist or something else. That's my friend. Yeah,
very cool.
The love state was really powerful. Mm. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great, Per. Thank you for sharing. How about you, Ina?
Yeah, it was really cool, because Per was coaching me first, and I realized that my words were like not as big as pairs, but it was all about the same thing. So it was actually just another layer on my on my state and intentions as well, because it's all about being or confronting is about helping my client to the next level. So it's something I do with love and the client in the. In the big picture, in the middle.
Yep.
So
yep.
it's all for the good purpose. So I think Per was really wrapping it up really great. So
okay.
yeah.
Very nice. High five, Ina and Per.
Yeah, thank you.
So how about you, Birgitta and Holly? How did you go?
I can start then, Birgitta, because I tried the Pippi Longstocking attitude on them. I tried to model Pippi Longstocking. And then I find, so the most important thing I found was that I really have assigned myself the task to find the things that are incongruences and that does not fit the truth, and that's not good for the world or for the person or whatever. So because I believe Pippi Longstocking, so she has assigned herself that task. She is very strong, and if people doesn't listen to her, she just lifts them away someplace.
Yes.
And also the state that she's rebellious. But she loves people, she honors people, but she's a rebel. And she believes she can do things that other people perhaps can't.
Mm-hmm.
The rebellious is quite for me, I believe.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. How about you, Holly?
For me, it was about being in a state of respect. Being respectful to the other person, confronting in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it gets to creating opportunities. First, it was about creating opportunities for myself to have more coaching clients, and then it was it's about lighting a flame under someone's ass, so to speak, to be irreverent,
yeah.
So that they can go out in the world and do what they need to do to create the change they need to make. And in my mind, that just serves a really high purpose of making the world a better place.
Yeah.
So that's what I got to.
Nice.
Matching, it's an imbalance. So it's also about creating balance for myself.
Very good.
Thank you.
So you notice how, with confronting, maybe we have this either or of either I'm loving or I'm confronting, and then finding out that confronting is actually a very loving thing to do. I would love for you to kind of over the next week or so, to kind of really write it out for yourself, and really kind of step into this matrix. Also see what kind of objections come up for you with regards to that, and exploring that, and maybe do some buddy coaching around it, because it really will make a huge difference for your coaching and the outcome that your client is going to get. So it really deserves the attention. So that's why that skill, I focus on it, on just that skill, because it's such a, it makes such a huge difference in your coaching, and being able to do that. So before we wrap up, is there anything else that you have, that you'd like to ask Ina?
Yeah, I would just like to add something, because I realized that being out there in discussions, it could be, there's a lot of political discussions around me these days, locally and regionally, locally and in the region, and I see that people have so many beliefs, and they just say them out in the open, they criticize, and they have thoughts that they think is the truth. And just going out there, being and asking them, or looking for the incongruences in these areas, is for me quite. It's interesting to be aware, actually, of how much impact it has to just ask a question. But is it confront and ask? Is it correct? What you're saying now, because I think being confronting is so important, in not just in the coaching sessions, but in all areas of life. I think it's so neat to just be more aware of it and just go out there and really practice it, because I think that is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think, for me, confronting plays into the skill of giving feedback. If you want to confront really well, you do it very cleanly. So I just, earlier this morning, I saw this post on it was about the brain and how the kind of how there is a soul, and it was kind of the new age science, and it was an article on that, And then you have like two groups, people who really believe in that and then the people who don't believe in that and who just think that's a load of bull. And the way, like what I notice in the way that people kind of confront each other is by using like blame game. They become mean and start name calling. You know, that's also very confrontive, but it's very distorted. And so that's the, when we confront, we just feed back an incongruency and then ask it in a tentative way, so that someone can make a decision for themselves. And then whatever response is, it's okay because we can receive the feedback. So that, for me, is really critical to keep it very clean, and in service of the conversation. So thank you for sharing, Aina. There?
Political discussion is really powerful to use a confrontation without this distorted name calling on that. I tried it out a few weeks ago and it was really fun.
Oh, cool.
I don't. It was like the kind of thinking the person was using was the kind of thinking that party. Do you know, Aina, what they say in English? Political, never mind. We use same kind of thinking as racists, and I told them they use this kind of thinking and pointed at this, and I said, you were using this, but you're pointing out that people. So what's the difference? And then it was just quiet after that. It was really fun. No more discussion.
If I could add something as well, maybe Femke, this could be something Michael would take up to bring into some of his reflections, because I think it's really important when the meta coach community grows. I didn't read all of his last article, but when the meta coach community grows, it's also important that we are aware of the impact we have with the knowledge we have out in the society, not only in the one-to-one coaching sessions or in the team coachings we do, but also the responsibility we have in being honest and being meta coaches also in the society we live in, we're part of. Yeah,
I'll share a funny story that I have. One of a colleague, meta coach, and I were running a training, and I was just an assistant at that time, and he was leading out. But like at the breakfast table in the morning, we were in a hotel, and so in the morning, we started a discussion on global warming, and obviously that's also like a very heat, that can be a very heated debate. And he has some very clear beliefs around that. And so I kind of like from a neurosemantic point of view said, well, I don't know, like I think I pointed out a distortion or something like that. And that we don't know, like if it's not proven, then we don't know either way. You can't So I basically stated it that way. And he got so angry with me and he said, this is not a neurosemantic discussion. And I thought it was so funny because it was just like, okay, but do you want me to resolve to kind of to a yes-no kind of conversation, because that's what happens a lot in those situations. You know, and neurosemantics in that sense, I think, is it doesn't have any content. You know, it's all about structure. And so you listen to structure. And so my personal view on neurosemantics is that we don't really have an opinion about things like in neurosemantics, in the field of neurosemantics, about things like paranormal abilities or God or global warming or anything like that. Like that's the beauty, I think, of neurosemantics is we can look at it, what is the structure and what conclusions are people drawing from it? And then the question, is that helpful or not? Is it toxic or not? So you can really kind of like take that kind of like a higher, like an observing position. So, okay, well, that's it for today. You have your skill builder to work on, so if you have any questions around that, please post or insights, please post them on your Facebook group and continue like this discussion on confronting, because I think it really is very valuable. And Ina, I will take that up with Michael. Like we have some, I know that he's written some about the responsibility that we have as coaches, but bring it up with him. Mm. All right, have a great evening, everyone, and a great day, Holly, because you're in your afternoon like me. So have a great day and evening, and we will be in touch again soon.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Good night.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.